All right, Luke chapter 23 is the focus of our message today. I want to focus in on one verse. There was a written notice above Jesus which read, "This is the King of the Jews." As I mentioned earlier, this is the last Sunday of the church year, Christ the King. As we look back over this year, we recognize that Jesus has been our King. King of the universe, King of this world, King of our very hearts. And as we anticipate another year of grace ahead of us, assuming that Jesus doesn't return within the next year, we know that Jesus will be King of that year as well, and every year of grace that is before us. And so today, we turn to Jesus as our King for confidence and courage, recognizing that He is King and will continue to be King now and forever. The King who is always with us each and every day. As I mentioned earlier, all three of our readings appointed for today give us various aspects of Jesus as King. That Old Testament reading from Jeremiah points to Jesus as the Shepherd King who would bring righteousness and justice to the Lord's beleaguered flock. And then in the second reading from Colossians, Paul identifies Jesus as King, the Son of God, the ruler of all creation, the head of the body, the church, that's us, Christ, our head. And now we turn our attention to the gospel lesson from Luke, where Luke points to the King on the cross. And it's there, it's a completely different picture than power and authority. Now, as we take a little closer look at just what type of King Jesus is, please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear Christian friends, so when you hear the word King, what springs to mind? Is it a crown and royal robes attended by servants and submitted to by everyone around them? Or is it armor and swords charging into battle, leading his forces? I doubt that even for us as Christians, when we hear that word King, our first image is not a crown like you saw on the cover of the worship folder today. Even for us, it's not a man who was nailed to a cross and being mocked by his own people. On a day like today, when we think of Christ the King, we do think of Jesus in power and authority and glory. And there's a part of us that loves that because we know that as Christians, we are often such targets and we have to somehow profess our faith in a world that speaks tolerance for everybody but us, right? It's kind of nice to know that we're going to win in the end. And we like to see Jesus as that powerful Lord and eternal victor. Oh, but that's not who Luke points to in our reading for today. For Luke chapter 23. Since the people stood watching and the rulers even sneered at him, they said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God." And you could almost hear him say, "Did shoes and what?" I don't know, but they didn't have air quotes. But that's kind of the attitude with which they said it. The soldiers came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." That little laugh isn't in the text. But again, you know it's there. You know that they're mocking. You know that there isn't a shred of truth in their minds in the words that they're using. The people who were mocking Jesus, they were leaders, they were soldiers, even the criminals, both of them at first, mocked him, made fun of him. They used words that we cling to in sure and certain hope. They use them as a punchline, words like Christ and chosen one and King. you better believe that none of it came from hearts of faith. Pilate even got in the game. He put that sign above Jesus' head that said, Jesus Nazarensis Rex Judaeorum, which is Latin, but we'll call it a Latin joke, for Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. There's an acronym that summarizes those words that has a prominent place in Christian symbology, where we see the INRI. If you've ever seen that, that's what it's referring to, that sign above Jesus' cross. In Latin, the I is like the J in English, so the I is for Jesus, or Jesus. The N is for Nazarensis, Nazareth. The R is for Rex, the Latin word for king. And then the last I, another J, is for the Jews. Jesus Nazarensis, Rex Judaeorum, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, I am our I. A beautiful symbol to us, a joke to the people who beheld Jesus, simply because he wasn't the type of king that they wanted or longed for. It's tempting to think that had we been standing at the foot of the cross, that, I mean, we wouldn't have mocked Jesus, right? We'd have been fighting for our king. We'd have been pointing up to him and saying, that's my king! That's my king, Jesus, right? Don't you think we all would want to be there doing that? Crying out, recognizing, acknowledging, standing with Jesus as our king? But let's be honest with ourselves. We like to think that, but we're mockers too, aren't we? Don't we mock Jesus whenever we just kind of ignore God's word or whatever his commandments are inconvenient for us? Don't we mock Jesus when we despise his word and sacraments? I mean, we walk into church on Sunday mornings coming to praise Jesus, but when we leave gossiping about so-and-so and what happened in their life, don't we mock Jesus? Every time we tell the king that we want to be good subjects, we want to change our lives, but then as soon as we leave, we fail to open Scripture. We fail to look to the Lord for guidance and just how to do that. We mock him. Every time we fail to make use of the rich spiritual resources that he lavishes on us and the wealth that he gives to us, every time we fail to use that as God would have us, we mock him. The truth is that we should be nailed to any of those three crosses. The truth is that our king should just forget about us. Eventually, the one criminal recognized it. He said, we are punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. See, he knew that Jesus was innocent. He knew that Jesus was more than just INRI. Jesus, Nazarensis, Rex Judaeorum, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. He knew that Jesus was more than that. That thief, that malefactor, that evildoer, he knew Jesus as INRO. Jesus, Nazarensis, Rex, Omnium. Anybody? Jesus of Nazareth, King of all. King of all. That meant more than he was just an earthly king. He knew Jesus to be the king of more than that. He knew Jesus to be the king of everything, to be the king of all, the king even of forgiveness. And he asked, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom? Those words, remember me, maybe don't quite communicate as much in the English as they should, but understand it's a very common prayer in the Old Testament. Believers prayed this to the Lord, remember me. And it wasn't just, hey, think of me from time to time, you can drop me a line. This is, remember me with your mercy and your grace. The thief on the cross was saying, Jesus, have mercy on me when you come into your kingdom. Genesis chapter 8, we read about how God mercifully remembered Noah and saved his family from the flood. In Genesis 19, we read how God mercifully remembered Abraham and saved his nephew Lot from the fire that would destroy Sodom. We also think about Samson. His eyes had been put out. He'd been captured by the enemy. And there he stood, mocked and ridiculed by the enemy of God's people. And he prayed, remember me. And God answered by giving him that strength as he stood between the pillars to pull down that pagan temple in one final blow against the enemies of God's people. This is the prayer of the dying criminal, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And it is both a cry for help and a beautiful confession of faith. This prayer shows that he understood and believed that Jesus is the Savior King, the King of everything, I-N-R-O, and the King of everything, the King of all, answered this prayer by saying, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Isn't it just so characteristic of God's love for us that when we ask for something, he gives us, as Paul puts it to the Ephesians, even more than we ask or imagine? I mean, you look at this. In his response to this criminal, the criminal was pleading for some mercy, for some forgiveness from the King of all. And Jesus doesn't just forgive his sins. He gives him confidence in his last breaths when he says, I tell you the truth. And he gives him courage to face what remained of his life with those words, today you will be with me in paradise. Because in the end, by the end of that day, the criminal's body would be dead and buried. But his soul would be with me in paradise. Again, what does that word bring to mind, that word paradise? I think for a lot of us it's a beautiful garden, huh? A beautiful garden like the Garden of Eden, or maybe one of those gardens in Europe, you know, that are manicured for centuries, these royal gardens that are just so extraordinary, you can hardly believe everything in it is natural. It's got to be fake, right? It just looks so perfect. But it certainly meant a royal garden for the criminal that day. Because in the royal garden of heaven, he would find rest from his suffering and salvation for his soul. Because when he closed his eyes in death and opened them in eternity, he lived forever in the presence of Jesus, his King. This is a sure and certain hope that Jesus gave that criminal that day. And it's the sure and certain hope that he gives to you and me. Because we are his children. We have been redeemed by his blood, and because of that, we too can be confident that be it today or another day of grace before us, we too will be with Jesus in paradise, in that royal garden. This is his gift to us. And it's extraordinary. I mean, think about it. No earthly king gives like this. I mean, royal gardens in Europe, you know, you either have to pay to walk through them, or maybe once in a while they invite you to tour them, but they never invite you to move in. They never invite you to make up a home there permanently. Sure, check it out for a bit, but then you got to go home. Earthly kings, they take. Our king gives. No earthly ruler. An earthly ruler gathers taxes from his people. Jesus, our King, willingly, lovingly gives his life. An earthly king demands. Our King offers. An earthly king fills his coffers with the treasures of the people. Christ, our king, in abundance he gives to his people from his spiritual wealth, forgiveness of sins, new life in him, and the eternal promise of salvation. And he gives an abundance of physical wealth, with time and talents and treasures that he wants us to use, to put to use in his kingdom for our benefit and for the benefit of generations to come. This is Christ our King, who spared not his own life, but delivered it up for us all, so that we too could have the confidence of parents. You are forgiven. Heaven is yours. The King has declared it. Now live in joyful anticipation of it. The tombstone of the great scientist, renowned astronomer, and devout Christian, a guy by the name of Copernicus, had this inscription put on his tombstone. He himself composed it. Said, "Not the grace of a Paul do I ask for, nor for the pardon once shown unto Peter, only the forgiveness bestowed upon the thief on the cross do I petition." I think we all feel that way. Jesus, remember me. Have mercy on me. Because when the scenes of this birth fade from our mortal vision, may our eyes be fixed on Jesus Christ, our King, our Shepherd King, and may our lips continue to always whisper that beautiful petition, "Lord, remember me and take me into your kingdom," in full confidence of the same cheering and assuring response will be yours. "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Amen.